It's Central Time. I'm Rob Farage. You're with us here on the Ideas Network. Coming up, we find out why humane societies around Wisconsin are making a big push for cat adoptions in July. Now, two state lawmakers join us to talk about some of the issues facing Wisconsin's prison system. For the state's adult prisons, overcrowding is one concern. The number of inmates rose sharply in the 1990s, and the system is now about a third over its capacity. Governor Evers said in his campaign he'd like to see the prison population ultimately cut in about half. And the juvenile correction system has an overhaul in the works after former Governor Scott Walker signed a bill last year to close the Lincoln Hills Youth Prison and replace it with regional facilities by 2021. Governor Evers shares that goal but says the state needs more time to make the plan a reality. Let's meet our two guest lawmakers now. David Bowen is a Democrat representing the state's 10th Assembly District in Milwaukee and Shorewood. He serves on the Assembly Committee on Corrections. Representative Bowen, thanks a lot for being here.
Rob, thank you so much for having me on.
Also with us in the studio, Patrick Snyder, a Republican representing the 85th Assembly District, which includes Wausau. He's also a member of that Corrections Committee. Representative Snyder, thanks for coming up.
Well, thank you for the invitation, Rob.
Well, Representative Bowen, let's start with you. The prison population, we've seen it rise steadily over the last 30 years. We're hearing concerns about prisons being over capacity, a lack of staffing. What do you see as priorities when it comes to our prison situation right now?
Well, we know that, you know, this is a problem that's built up over time. We know that there are policies that are pushing us to have a system that currently is overcrowded and overpopulated. And we do need to align some things in the immediate, right? How do we put out some fires of things that are really pressing right now? That are straining our system really beyond what it was designed to do. And I think essentially we need to focus on stabilizing our system, right? We've been able to do that when it comes to the juvenile correction system and looking at Lincoln Hills and Copper Lake and knowing that we had to take immediate action. I think you're going to have to see some immediate action on revocations and making sure that the folks that we can divert, right, from going back into the system, from just being placed in incarceration again, that we can keep those individuals outside and having access to alternatives and do a really full system scan and understanding, you know, we have a number of policies that have determined how long people can be in our system. Let's really dive in. And I think that you're going to see some collaborations on both sides of the aisle to really dive into the strains, because it's putting a strain on our staff. It's putting a strain on our resources. Right. And we know that even our prison population is getting older. Right. We're paying more for the services for care and health and mental health and things of that nature. We really need to have a full pretty much assessment of just where we are and how do we really get our way out of it.
We'll dig into some of those issues, those particulars, a little more. But Representative Snyder, what do you see as top areas of concern right now?
Well, this is my first session on the Corrections Committee, and our chairman, Representative Schraw, and of course with Representative Bowen, Crowley, and a lot of the other folks, I'm leaning on some of their leadership. Representative Goyke has been extremely instrumental in leading some of the reforms we need to do. My thing is, I think everyone needs a second chance. I think there are people that instead of just putting them in prison and say, do your time, and then expect them to come out in the environment that maybe put them in prison, without some type of rehabilitation, be it training, be it education, have a career that we can, you know, in their last year or two in the incarceration, be able to train them, and then they'll pop out of the system and hopefully be able to have that career that will keep them away from the environment that they were in that maybe they don't go back.
One piece of that puzzle that I think both of you have worked on, you both signed on to some legislation aimed at giving some work credentials to people as they head toward getting out of prison. Representative Snyder, can you talk about that a little?
Yeah, I think that if we can get the training and if we can also, you know, there's situations where if you're coming out of the prison system and you are a model citizen, you worked hard at getting the training you need or completing education, I think if the warden of that system or other administrative types would acknowledge that, like a letter of recommendation that could go on to the future employer to see that this person made tremendous strides to change their lives, and hopefully that would, you know, because we need the workforce, and I think hopefully that would change some minds for future employers.
Mm-hmm. We definitely have a chance to expand greatly the work release program that we currently have, right? We have a number of individuals that could have the chance to go out and work into the workforce and contribute to those industries that we know are fueling our state. And we have a number of individuals that don't get access to work release. So I think that's a huge opportunity for us to be able to invest in and allow those citizens, as they are really getting ready to transition back to our communities, that we know that they need to be set up even previously, before, even earlier, so that they can have those work opportunities.
Speaking of when people get out of prison, you briefly mentioned revocations earlier, Representative Ball, and there's this concern that, okay, somebody gets out of prison, they're subject to certain rules, they break a rule, not necessarily a new crime, but they end up back in prison. What kind of changes are you hoping to see there, Representative Bowen?
Yeah, and it's something that we've been focused on in my office, and we know that there is some sentiment to keep moving in this direction. We know that we have to reform revocations, especially when it comes to individuals that don't even commit a new crime. We're talking about technical violations. We're talking about individuals that may have missed a AODA treatment requirement, and they missed their session, right? They show up late because something happened and they couldn't get to that location on time. These aren't things to reincarcerate somebody for. Currently, that's the way our system is designed. And we want to set up folks to succeed, not just to wait for them to fail or for them to break a rule. So we think it's really important to really look at revocations, look at how we get access to treatment, especially in areas of the state where it's hard to get access to different substance abuse or mental health treatment as well. And then also make sure that we have flexibility in our system. It can't just be so rigid that individuals might break that one rule and, you know, that sends them right back. They lose their jobs. They lose access to their income. They lose the chance to be able to invest into their families and their legacy as well. So we don't want them to lose that progress. We need a system that much more flexible than what we have.
And are you hoping, Representative Snyder, to see those kind of changes in that revocation without a new crime leading someone back into prison?
Yeah, the technical things, an individual constituent that didn't realize that he had visitation rights for his first child, came out of jail, was on probation, and wanted to see a second child that was just born, called up to the wife who had a restraining order on him, and he violated it, and he got 45 days in jail, lost his job, everything to that nature on a technical that, granted, he had forgotten. I just think we need to do that, not only for the individual losing their job or maybe setting them back thinking, I'll never win, but also for the taxpayer, because now
exactly.
It's incarcerated. Now the costs go up for the counties, for the states, because we're putting people in that maybe on a technical side could be worked with in a different way.
We're talking to two state representatives right now, Republican Patrick Snyder, Democrat David Bowen, about their thoughts on changing Wisconsin's corrections system. Jim is with us in Watertown. Jim, hi.
Hello. Thank you for taking my call. I would like to know if there has been any thought towards making the penitentiary system in Wisconsin kind of a merit-based system. Unfortunately, I give a little history. I did 14 years in the Virginia penitentiary system. And really, to be honest, if it wasn't for some people when I got out taking me in and letting me learn how to be a responsible citizen and the benefits of having a real job, I would still be going in and out of the system. My basic idea on this is when you get in, if the person shows that they're a fairly good person but just made some mistakes, allow them to earn the right to have a job.
All right. Jim, I'm going to jump in. We've got a lot of callers. Thank you for sharing your experience. Representative Snyder, you're talking a little bit about getting people back into the workforce. He's saying, hey, maybe better jobs, decent paying jobs, even while they're still in prison.
Right. You know, one of the programs we have in the Wausau area is through North Central Technical College. And it was implemented before where we had money for instructors to go into our county jail and teach welding. And so when the inmates are completed their sentence, all they have to do is come out and do some lab work. Well, so far, of the 15 people that have completed the course over the last few years, all 15 are still employed. No, so we had that in our budget, but it unfortunately got vetoed out. So hopefully we can somehow get that back, because I do think that's very, you know, like a caller said, to have that career, to have something that people were, you know, caring about them and goes a long way.
And Representative Bowen, Jim mentioned being lucky to find people to help him make the transition out of prison to daily life. Does Wisconsin as a state have enough programs like that to help people make that transition?
I think absolutely not, right? We see that there are needed supports that so many individuals, when they're returning back to the community, especially when you talk about the basics, housing, and having a consistent environment and supportive environment to be able to turn to upon release. We know that right now the system is built in a way, and it's been that way for a long time, where you're reliant on, you know, external people, relationships that sometimes can fall out, and that will leave you without anywhere to go. And we know that we need to be able to stabilize housing. That's a huge issue for individuals that are coming back to the community. And we should do a lot more with those basic needs to be able to support people, so we really do set them up for success, not for failure.
Thanks again for that call, Jim. We'll go to Courtney now in Middleton. Courtney, hello.
Hi.
What do you want to bring up, Courtney?
My comment was I work in a 30-day rehab program with veterans, and one of the things we really try to stress as staff is that for 30 days, this is your home, and we are your family, and we care about you like a family. We want to see you do well because we care. And, you know, I think having people in prison is you know, part of our criminal justice system, and that's fine, but continuously punishing them and making them feel like they're there because nobody wants them around, the result is not usually good. You know, having staff have a mentality of, hey, this is your home right now. We are your family. We care about you. You know, what can we do to make you better so when you're back in society, you can do better on your own?
Courtney, thanks for the call. Representative Bowen, let's start you off on that one. Treatment in prison and less punitive, more, I guess, home-like facilities, she's saying.
Yeah, I mean, I think it's important to have spaces that are focused on trauma-informed care, right? And recognizing that folks are involved in the system, have been through these traumatic experiences throughout their life, and that's led them to where they are. It does not mean that they should just be blamed, right, for engaging in the activity and the behavior that has got them there. It means that other things have happened to them, and our system needs to recognize that too. So if you do have a trauma-informed space, it means that just being focused on punishment and continuously driving that message to a person that will be coming back to our community very likely, and that needs to be able to transition, that you can't just be focused on just those punitive measures. That includes having a supportive environment with folks that care about them.
And Representative Snyder, Courtney also brings up substance abuse. What do you see out there when it comes to providing substance abuse, that being maybe part of the story for many of the people in our prisons?
Yeah, a lot of times you see like a 21-day medical treatment program for opioids or heroin addiction. And I've been told by a lot of folks that it's more than 21 days. I think when it comes to our jails or our treatment centers, you know, we have to be there in a supportive role when they're released. I love local AA or NA that would maybe get information of somebody coming out with an addiction problem, meet them and take them to a meeting, get them immediately into a support group that will maybe keep them out of, you know, relapsing back into things. And I just think that what Courtney's doing and what others are doing in this area, and what Representative Bowen brought up too from our foster care task force, these young men and women, the trauma they go through, we're not making excuses for actions they've done, but you got to look at the environment or the stew they were boiled in to get to the point they are. And for kids aging out of foster care, a lot of times one out of two will be involved in law enforcement or the correction system. So we need to get in there and stop that as well.
Thanks a lot for the call, Courtney, and the work you do. I want to paint people a picture here. I've got a Republican and a Democrat here. We're talking about crime and punishment, and they're nodding along with each other at almost everything I'm hearing.
In 2019.
And everyone thought we were at each other's throats.
That's right.
Well, and it would not have always been this way on this issue. Representative Snyder, do you see things changing where this is maybe not going to be such a partisan issue?
Well, I think on certain things, when we talk about not only corrections and reform for prisons, when you think about children and families, when you think about some of the issues, I think there's a lot of bipartisan agreement to things. Maybe on how we get there or the money numbers or things to that nature, we might have differences, but that's how we compromise. I just know the way I legislate, I work very well, I think, for the most part, across the aisle with my colleagues, because Representative Doyle and I were the co-chairs for the Foster Care Task Force, and we had a lot of great committee members on that as well. And, you know, you really can get things done. We had 13 bills come out of our committee. 11 got passed and signed. So, yes, when you work together, you can get things done.
Representative Bowen, do you see this happening? I mean, we went through the budget process. There's a lot of arguments are related to that on these issues. Do you see work getting done?
Yeah, I mean, what I focused on is, you know, what brought us to this point. We've seen really significant stresses on our resources because we've allowed the prison system to balloon to where it is today. So we have a significant amount of dollars that we would be saving from our state budgets, from for taxpayers, and more money going into you know, building tax revenue with folks working in the workforce. But, you know, we now have so much dollars that we now spend more money on our Department of Corrections than we do on our education system. That is by design. That means that we need to switch some things so that we can convert to a position where, you know, our system is as the most efficient and effective that it can be, not just, you know, just trying to make those points on punishment that has really gotten us into this mess.
All right, lightning round. You've just got about 10 seconds. One change you're hoping to make on this issue in 2019. Representative Bowen, go.
I want to make a really big move on crimeless revocations and making sure that we can align some things so that we can stop the flow of folks repeatedly going in and out of the system and set them up for success.
Same thing, Representative Snyder.
I'd like training, education to set them up for careers when they are out of prison.
We'll leave it there. Thank you both so much for joining
us
today.
Thank you, Rob.
Talking to Democrat David Bowen from Milwaukee, Republican Patrick Snyder from Wausau. They're both in the state assembly, both on a corrections committee there. They join us for a look at the future of Wisconsin's prison system.